Luke chapter 3 verses 21 and 22, this is the reading of God's Word. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. As we hear your word, we pray that you will cause our faith to grow, that we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have marvelous fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that your word will be preached correctly, that Jesus will be exalted, and that all your people will be blessed. And with that grace that you pour out to us, let us live this new week to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you, and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, God begins the work of salvation for his people as he calls John the Baptist. God calls John as the one who prepares the way of the Lord. John comes to preach the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. Jesus, who is sinless, receives the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As the representative of his people, Jesus repents his people's sins, and he does that perfectly. We have also seen that John's baptism points to God's judgment. And today, we will see yet another meaning of the baptism that Jesus Christ receives in our passage. Let me read you the rest of the passage. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Soon after Jesus received the baptism from John the Baptist, we read that Jesus was praying. Matthew has also written about the same event. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, we read, "After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened." Mark says of the same event, Mark chapter 1, verse 10, "Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening." We must put all these three together. So, soon after Jesus received the baptism, he came out of the water and he prayed. And while he was praying, three things happened. But before we look at these three things that happened, there is one thing that I would like all of us to think about. As we see God the Father's certification and approval of Jesus as the Messiah through his baptism, John the Baptist disappeared from the scene. Yes, even in the story of Jesus receiving the baptism, we know John is baptizing Jesus, but John is not even mentioned by his name. And as we read the rest of the book of Luke, we will meet John just once again in chapter 9, but only in the prison. John, who is representative of the Old Testament, as soon as Jesus, who is fulfilling the Old Testament, appears, John disappears. The Old Testament is passing away. With the coming of Jesus Christ, the new era begins. John the Baptist, like an arrow, points to Jesus Christ, but as soon as Jesus comes, he disappears. Do you remember what John has said in John chapter 3, verse 30? He said, Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's exactly what he does. As a groomsman, the joy of Jesus Christ is John's joy. John disappears. And this life of disappearing, I want you to understand that that's your life. Because only Jesus must remain. It's not about you doing things so the next generation can remember your name. All they have to remember is the name of Jesus Christ. They don't have to remember you or me. That's not our purpose. We disappear. Jesus remains. This is what Christian life is all about. Well, now as Jesus receives the baptism and as he prays, three things happen according to our passage. First thing, heaven opened. Second thing, the Holy Spirit in bodily form like a dove descended upon Jesus. Third thing, a voice came out from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Through these three things, we see first the fulfillment of the promise of God. Do you remember the earlier passages? Luke chapter 1, verse 35, "The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God.'" And in our passage, the Father confirms it. He calls, "You are my Son." Luke chapter 2, verse 11, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." We see in our passage the fulfillment of all those promises. Let us look at these three things then. The first thing, the heaven opened. The Bible uses this phrase when God's revelation is given. Also, when God begins His work. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1b, "The heavens were open and I saw visions of God." Acts chapter 10, verse 11, Peter sees a vision, and he saw the sky opened up, and an object like a gray sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. So when you see this phrase, heaven opened, you see God act, and God speaks. So that's what we see in our passage. God acts and we hear His voice. The second thing, the Holy Spirit in bodily form like a dove descended upon Jesus. Here, what you're seeing is that Jesus is witnessed as the Messiah. Because we have so many Old Testament verses that tells us upon the Messiah, the Holy Spirit, will come. Isaiah 42, verse 1, speaking of the Messiah, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Isaiah 61, verse 1, another revelation of God concerning the Messiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Well, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. See, these things are not happening in random. God already prophesied in the Old Testament when the Messiah appears, you will see the Holy Spirit descend upon him. And that's exactly what is happening. Later, Luke will tell us that in Jesus Christ, the Isaiah 61 is fulfilled. The Isaiah 61 I just read to you. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. We will get to that passage in a few weeks. We will see it in more detail. Well, let us see just one more verse, Isaiah 11 verse 2. Again, speaking of the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and strength. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. All that is being fulfilled as we see from our passage, the Holy Spirit descend upon our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit rests on the Messiah, the servant of God. The Holy Spirit resting upon him also points to the reality of God's power rests on him. Luke chapter 1 verse 35b, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit is talking to Mary, but you could see when Holy Spirit comes, the power of God also come. We saw in the previous verses, John the Baptist referred to Jesus as the one who is coming, who is mightier than he. Well, Jesus is the one. Jesus is the mighty one. Here, as the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus, God confirms to John the Baptist and to us that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. If we read John chapter 1 verse 33, this is what we read. I did not recognize him. John the Baptist is saying, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. So John the Baptist, as standing next to Jesus, and he sees all this, he realizes what he has heard already from God, that this is the one. So it is the approval, it is the confirmation of God that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That's what is happening in the baptism of Christ. It says, bodily form like a dove, the Holy Spirit came. It's not saying a real dove has come. No, it was the Holy Spirit in the visible form of a dove. But when you hear a word dove, what does it remind you of? Well, obviously the dove at the Noah's flood. What was the meaning of the dove appearing in the Noah's flood? Genesis chapter 8 verse 11, the dove came to him toward evening, and behold, in her beak was a freshly picked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the water was abated from the earth. It signaled, the appearance of dove signaled the end of God's judgment. It also signaled the beginning of the new heaven and the new earth, though they were typological at the Noah's time. The beginning of the new era. The same thing is happening in our passage. We see the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a dove. We see the beginning of the new era. We saw the Holy Spirit like a bird hovering over the water in Genesis 1 as the creation began. Just like it in our passage, we see the beginning of the new creation. The new era. The era of the Holy Spirit is beginning. The new era in which the power and glory of the Holy Spirit is being poured out. That new era is beginning. In other words, the church age is beginning. The dawn of heaven has come. The Holy Spirit is being poured out on Jesus Christ. As you know, in the Old Testament, oil was a type of the Holy Spirit. The word Messiah means the one who is anointed with oil. As we see Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus Christ, we see Jesus being anointed as the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the servant Messiah. Acts chapter 4 verse 27, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed." And we also see, as we see the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus, the presence of God with Jesus Christ. God is with him. Acts chapter 10 verse 38, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So as you read about this passage, how Jesus is baptized, and how the heaven is open, and how the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and you hear God's voice, I want you to understand what is really happening. It's not just, okay, these things happen. No, there's a meaning to all these things. The third thing that happened, a voice came out of heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." God the Father himself is speaking. And he says to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." In Psalm 2 verse 7, God the Father says to the Messiah, "You are my Son." There, he pointed to the installation of Jesus as the King. God the Father confirms that Jesus is his Son. And this is very, very important. Being God's Son witnesses the fact that he is the true Messiah. Luke chapter 22, verse 67 and verse 70. "If you are the Christ, tell us." But Jesus says to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe." And go to verse 70, and they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "Yes, I am." To say that he is the Messiah means that he is the Son of God. Acts chapter 9, verse 20 and verse 22. "And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.' But Saul," verse 22, "kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ." So verse 20 says that he was proclaiming Jesus is the Son of God, but that is the same thing as Jesus is the Christ. Through the baptism of Jesus Christ then, God the Father approves and confirms to all that Jesus is the true Messiah and that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ bears all our sins and dies on the cross, but He resurrects from the dead in 3 days, and His resurrection also witnesses that He is the Son of God. Romans chapter 1 verse 4, who was declared the Son of God, which power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal God and eternal Son of God, and He needs no proof. He doesn't have to show anybody the proof that He is the eternal Son of God. But here in our passage, our Lord is witnessed as the Son of God in terms of Him being the true Messiah. As true Messiah, He needs to witness it. He needs to show proof. After His baptism, through these three things then, our Lord Jesus Christ is revealed and confirmed as the Son of God and the servant Messiah of our God. It all means that Jesus is able to save His people. And He is able to accomplish the salvation of His people. That He is the true Messiah that is promised by God from the Old Testament, according to God's plan before the creation. But what does that mean to us? This is how you read the Bible. This is how you understand. These stories are your story. Because it is stories of Jesus Christ. Because you are united to Christ. So it's not just reading about what happened long time ago, and it's not just reading about even what happened to Christ. Of course. But it is also, we are reading about what happened to us. And if you do not understand the Bible in terms of you, then it has nothing to do with you. Through the study of Book of Luke, we're going to do this a lot, and whenever I have vacation, I will bring some sermons that would explain what we're doing. Because it is really important that you understand. Bible shows us our reality. It's not just examples so that you could follow those examples. That's not what Bible is about. It actually shows you what happened to you, that what is true of you, because it is all about Christ. So in our passage then, our eternal reality is also being witnessed. Acts chapter 17 verse 28, for in Christ we live and move and exist. In Christ we exist. Because we are in Christ. The Christianity is not about what we do and what we accomplish, but it is all about what Christ has done and what He has accomplished for us. Who I am and what I am and how I am are determined by what Christ has done, what He has accomplished for us. Through the Word of God, we know that we will be just like Christ. We will never be God, of course not. But all the things that we are able to say about Jesus Christ in His humanity, we are also able to say all that about us. And you should never forget this. The event that we see in our passage also shows our spiritual reality, our heavenly reality, our salvation reality in Jesus Christ. In Acts 2, we also see the Holy Spirit descending upon the church. Just like how the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus Christ. Later, we see the Holy Spirit descending upon the church. Yes, the Holy Spirit descended upon you and me, and He remains with us, in us. He is with us forever, and He will never leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus, just like what happened to Jesus, Holy Spirit comes, the power and glory came with it. And that is our reality also. That He gave us the power and the glory. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. This is your reality. And in Christ, you and I have become sons of God. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And as the sons of God, we reign with Christ forever in heaven. Revelation 22 verse 5b, and they will reign forever and ever. Revelation 3 verse 21, He who overcomes, and Bible says that we overcome by faith, I will grant to him, God says, He will grant to you to sit down with me on my throne as I also became and sat down with my Father on His throne. And as the sons of God, we are God's heirs in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs, also heirs of God and the fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I hope you see, as you see what is happening to Christ, I want you to also see what has happened to you. This is how you read the Bible. The Holy Spirit descended upon us and He gave us glory and power. And we reign with Christ as the King of that glorious place. Do you see it, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Do you see your heavenly reality of how the heaven has opened and the Holy Spirit has descended upon you? And through His Word, God speaks to you also. God says to you, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You need to understand that God says the same thing to you because you are in Christ. That He is well pleased with you, and you are His sons. Of course, only in Jesus Christ. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior, and He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. You got to understand that God the Father is well pleased with His own Son, Jesus Christ, and He exults over Him with joy. But that is exactly what the Father is doing to you. He rejoices over you because of Christ and what He has done for you. I want you to hear God's Word. Not just to Christ, but to you. Hear His Word. He says to you, you are my beloved Son. In you, I am well pleased. I don't know what you're seeking in your life, but when I hear this from my Father in heaven, It is truly enough for me. Because it really doesn't matter. Everything else doesn't matter. Now, I don't know what will make you happy. Somehow you live your life as if you need to do something, you need to gain something to be more happy. You're mistaken. You don't fully understand what gospel is all about. You have every reason to be the joyous, be the most happy. You already have those reasons. It's not that you gotta get something or gain something or do something that you will be more happy. Thinking like that, it's not according to the Bible. You're mistaken. You are misunderstanding. Because I guarantee you, when you go get it, you're not going to be more happy. You are not going to be more happy. Because once you understand the gospel, you are as happy as you could be. You cannot be more happy than this. And if you are not happy only with the Bible, you will never be happy. That's how world thinks what's going to happen to them. That's how world thinks that they will be happy when they get this or they do this or whatever. That's not Christianity. We're happy that God is happy with us. That He is well pleased with us. He rejoices over us. Brothers and sisters, even as we see our heavenly realities in our story, let us never forget that our heavenly reality has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, who bore our sins and died upon the cross. And upon the cross, He cried out to God the Father, who said to Him, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." Jesus cried out to that Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God forsaken. God the Father has forsaken the Son. Because He was bearing your sins, my sin. And because how He received all the judgments that we deserve. Now God could say to you, "You are my Son, and in you I'm well pleased." Yes, we sin, but one day, you will be like Jesus Christ. You have to believe. And God says, "I am well pleased with you, my son." I could be very happy hearing that voice from God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. That how even your commands are the gospel. It tells us the good news. And we know that your word comes true. No one, nothing can resist your command. And if you are truly commanding to us, because we are truly your sons, it will happen. It already happened. Let us believe and live by faith. We thank you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.